coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Evolution was discovered. It's not something people made up. It was discovered, and the evidence for it is astonishing. It's overwhelming. What do these guys do, I ask myself, when they take their children to a conventional natural history museum and their fossil dinosaur bones?
That's Bill Nye, the science guy, recently on CNN, chastising politicians who don't espouse evolution or who believe that evolution and creation ought to be taught alongside one another in public schools. If you listen to Bill Nye, he makes it sound as though science and evolution are the same thing, that the scientific method is essentially holding to the evolutionary theory. Is that true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Monday afternoon, October the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be responding to Bill Nye, the science guy's comments about politicians who don't espouse evolution. Dr. Georgia Purdom will be our guest for the first half hour of this program. A little bit later, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us. We're going to talk about church and state things in Germany. Now, he also wants to speak a little bit about what he thinks is one of the most volatile political statements, moral statements made by a Midwest Catholic bishop on Catholic voters and abortion, intrinsic evil, and going along with it. We'll see what Uwe has to say about that a little bit later in the first hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Ron Marshall joins us after that. We'll talk about Martin Luther and his alleged anti-Semitism, and then we will get Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University to respond to the answers given by both of the vice presidential candidates, Vice President Joe Biden and Congressman Paul Ryan's comments on abortion during last Thursday's vice presidential candidates debate. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Georgia Purdom is a speaker and scientist for Answers in Genesis. Dr. Purdom has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. Dr. Purdom, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm here.
If you listen to Bill Nye when he was speaking on CNN, you get the impression that any scientist, any citizen for that matter, who wants to take science seriously is going to believe evolution because science and evolution are practically the same thing. Do you agree?
No, and what he does, and I've seen him do this over and over again, is he confuses observational science with what we call historical science. So observational science is technology, innovation, what we do in the here and now. We can test it, observe it, repeat it. And most creationists and evolutionists would agree on it. It's how we do it in the lab. Okay, there wouldn't be any differences. But when it comes to talking about science, the things that have occurred in the past, like creation or evolution, it's very much dependent on one's worldview. What is the truth about the past? Is it man's ideas about the past, who wasn't there, or is it God's word, who was an eyewitness account, and had men write it down? That really is the difference, because the past we can't observe, test, or repeat. It's totally based on our worldviews, how we interpret the evidence that we have today about the past. So they're two very, very different things.
Okay. The other thing that I get from Bill Nye is that evolution is irrefutable. It has gone beyond theory, even beyond law. It, and again, kind of back to that point, it is the essence of science itself. How does it fare as a theory? Is it by reputable scientists still regarded as a theory, or is it advanced to law?
Well, I would say among many scientists, unfortunately, it has advanced to law. He states at the very end of that presentation, he says, you know, evolution is a fact. It's, you know, this is irrefutable, so to speak. And obviously, you know, I'm a scientist and I disagree with that. And because I look at the same evidence that Bill Nye is looking at. We're looking at the exact same things. But so how can we come to such different conclusions if we're looking at the same things? And again, it's because it is not about the evidence. It is about our worldview when we look at the evidence that we make decisions about what does that evidence confirm or affirm, so to speak. And so that really is the key. And in all of this, this is so much not an evidence issue. This is a heart issue, is what it really comes down to. And people want to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, as Romans 1:18 says.
Okay, here is my layperson's take on this, and that is just going with the basic science that I was taught in junior high and high school and college. Mm-hmm. You make observations, you conjecture about what may be, if you have made enough observations, you might hypothesize.
Mm-hmm.
You eventually develop something that is kind of a working theory. But the good scientist, if he's got something as grand as, say, evolution, biological evolution, he will, as much as he may love his theory, think it's an elegant thing, he's going to spend his time trying to falsify his theory. Because if he really believes it's true, he will he'll strengthen his theory by trying to find ways to falsify it. I don't see a lot of at least the popular advocates of evolution trying to falsify it anymore. It's almost become where all the evidence has to fit or it is dismissed.
Right. And I always say, you know, with evolution, it's just like no other science, because in no other area would a scientist accept something on such poor evidence to support it. For example, you know, the idea that one kind of organism can evolve into another kind, well, you have to have some type of mechanism, genetic mechanism, to allow organisms to gain genetic information, and there's no known mechanism that can do that. None. Everything we see takes away or decreases. It doesn't add to. And so they don't, you can give them all the time in the world, but if you don't have a mechanism, you can't get anywhere.
Explain that, if you would, in a little more detail.
Sure. I mean, you know, what they say is like things like mutations, for example, that through time you get enough of these changes in the DNA, these mutations, and you can add information. If we've gone from a single cell up to mankind today, then there has to be a lot of genetic information that's been added, information on how to make brains, eyeballs, all of those things that single-celled organisms don't have. So there has to be a mechanism to do that, and their mechanism is mutations. But we can observe mutations in the present, and we can see what mutations do. And never has it been shown that they add genetic information on how to make new structures and new functions. They simply don't do that. They take away from it. They destroy things. They certainly don't cause a gain of things.
So are you saying that, as search as we may, try as we might, the proponents of evolution have yet to find the genetic mechanism for the very basic process that they say has been happening over billions of years in all living organisms?
Exactly. And to me, that's one of the quote-unquote best evidences that I would say that really is very, very problematic for them, is they have no way of doing it, no way of evolving.
How do they explain the absence of it? That's almost like talking about, you know, having a system of railroads with no wheels. No, it's actually more ludicrous than that. How do they explain the absence of such a mechanism?
Well, and they would say, well, it hasn't been found yet. Or they will try to somehow say that by losing things, and I know this sounds ludicrous, but they will say this, that somehow by losing things, we can evolve. And or they'll try to rename it to make it sound better. But it doesn't change the fact that you don't have a mechanism to gain new structures and functions to go from one thing to another. And like I say, it's accepted that this had to have happened at some point because we're all here, right? So it had to have happened, even though they have no scientific basis for it.
Is there any evidence for kind of the even bigger claim here? And that is, through this as yet undiscovered and observed mechanism, we are able to evolve from one species to another. Indeed, able to evolve from a single-celled organism to every species that is.
Again, no. I mean, we can definitely have changes in the DNA that may lead to speciation within a particular, you know, kind of animal. Like Bill Nye used the example of our plant, even. He used the example of roses, okay? Well, we can get different species of roses, but we don't get a rose becoming a non-rose, for example. We don't see those kinds of changes. So we do see speciation, and creationists and, you know, accept that. That's an observable, something we can observe in the present. We see organisms speciating, but we don't see the kinds of changes that are necessary to go from one kind to another.
Is part of the problem the term species, that in that how we categorize or classify organisms in the world? Is that part of the problem that both the evolutionists and the creationists may be confused by?
No, I think both of us accept how species is defined, which is kind of an interesting question among scientists, but I think we both basically accept those basic facts about how we define a species. It's just that their key is time. So in the past, given enough time, you can go from, let's say, a dog to a cat or a chimp to a human. And so what they're saying is you just, time being the key, if you give it enough, you will see these large-scale changes, even though that's never been observed, and even though they have no mechanism to do that.
Dr. Georgia Purdom is our guest. She'll be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. She's a speaker and scientist for Answers in Genesis, and she has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University. We're talking about Bill Nye, the science guy's comments recently on television, on CNN, about politicians who don't espouse evolution. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues, Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Our ancestors have made these discoveries. This is the best idea humans have ever had, this process of science, this way that we understand the world around us and our place in it. And to set aside those discoveries arbitrarily betrays really the best in us. It betrays the best use of our brains, wherever you might assert those came from. If you're setting aside what makes humans so good.
That's Bill Nye recently on CNN, criticizing politicians who won't espouse evolution. Dr. Georgia Purdom is our guest from Answers in Genesis for the next 10 minutes of the program. After that, Dr. Uwe Simonetta will join us. We'll talk about church and state issues in Germany. Dr. Purdom, how do you respond to Bill Nye's assertion that he made at the beginning and then all the way through his CNN interview that evolution was not somebody's idea, it was discovered fact?
Well, again, it was somebody's idea. Darwin was the one that really is the one that popularized it and promoted it and came up with a supposed mechanism for it through natural selection. So he's basically saying, again, that, you know, well, this is what, you know, science tells us. Like, science is this objective fact. Well, I would agree science is objective, but the problem is that scientists aren't. And, you know, fossils do not come with age tags. They don't say I'm so-and-so years old and I evolved from this. That is man's interpretation of what he is seeing. And it's very much because, it occurred in the past. It's not something we can test and repeat in the present. It very much depends on what your starting point is and what you believe about the past. It'll say what you want it to say, so to speak. And if you don't have truth as your starting point, then you can make up whatever story you want to exclude God from the picture, which is what Darwin wanted to do and many of these scientists want to do. They want to have a world without God so that they don't have to be responsible to him.
Well, that raises the question, and that is, why the near-religious fervor in support of evolution? I would say that in the pejorative sense, mm-hmm. Obviously, but why is it that there's kind of the almost evangelistic nature to the most ardent evolutionists?
Yeah, and it's really interesting that this has come up a lot recently, like I say, in the news with many of these politicians, you know, talking about it, and most of what they're saying, I'm encouraged by that people are thinking about this issue and really confronting this issue, because we do see a lot of what's happening in our society. You know, sin is the ultimate reason for this, but when we go away from the authority of God's word, and that's what our culture is really wanting us to do. Well, we want to, you know, have homosexual marriage. We want to have abortion. We want to have all of these things. We want to have these freedoms, so to speak, to do all of these things. Then they want the Bible to not be authoritative. And so they want to strike at it wherever they can. And Genesis is the real hotbed for that, especially right now, of saying, well, this isn't true because science says it isn't, so we can get rid of the authority of the Bible. Because once we start in one area, it's very easy to say, well, then the Bible isn't true in this area when it talks about the sanctity of life, or when it talks about the definition of marriage or any of these other issues. And so I think that's why you see people really hitting this issue very hard, because it is so culturally relevant to what or who is our ultimate authority in this world and in this society.
One of the things that Bill Nye discussed a bit in that television interview was the age of the earth. And he continually said that those who deny evolution have a range of 6 to 10,000 years. And then kind of wandered a little bit from the subject. He seems to consider it self-evident that the Earth itself is billions of years old. Is that self-evident?
And it's not, again, because all radiometric dating methods are based on certain assumptions about the past. And if those assumptions are incorrect, then the dates you get from those methods are going to be incorrect. I mean, if you look at Mount St. Helens, for example, we know that it erupted in 1980. So when you date the rocks from it, it really shouldn't be that old. It should only be a few decades old. But yet when you date the rocks using the radiometric dating methods and the assumptions they're based on, it comes out to be millions of years old. Well, we know that's not true. So if you cannot trust these radiometric dating methods for rocks of known age, why would you trust them for a rock of unknown age? It becomes very, very problematic. They're fraught with problems. And yet people assume that they're fact because people like Bill Nye get on TV and say these things about them. But when you really look at them, we see there's a lot of problems with them.
Okay. You've mentioned this several times, but give us some more detail. Why is it that the evolutionist requires so much time?
Because you have to have enough time. I mean, when you look at the complexity of organisms today, and in our, I mean, I'm a molecular geneticist, so I study things at the cellular level, the DNA level. And the complexity we see there is just enormous. And so in order to get that complexity in all living things that we have today, you have to have lots of time, because evolution works in a stepwise fashion. You don't evolve everything at once because it's by chance. So by chance, you have to have a lot of time to get enough chances that you evolve something that's functional and can, you know, move on to the next level, so to speak. So it just takes a lot of time. And even what I'm seeing from a lot of evolutionists today is, even, like I say, as we study this and realize how complex it is, they're saying, well, there's not even enough time on Earth for this to have happened, especially if the first bacterial life was 3.5 billion years ago. There's just not enough time. So now they're even, for that bacterial life to have evolved. And so now they're saying, well, maybe there's, you know, since the universe is supposedly 15 billion years old, maybe there's some sort of intelligent life that's evolved elsewhere, and it has sent, you know, bacteria or some sort of life to Earth, and so it got a head start, so to speak, that way. So these scientists, I mean, you think about this, they are willing to believe in alien life, which we have absolutely no evidence for, so that they can exclude God from the picture and not believe what his word says.
Now, do they, so apparently they're willing to now admit that they don't have enough time. Is part of the problem for evolution is that when the theory was first crafted several centuries ago, they didn't really understand cellular biology. They didn't understand that even in those bacterium, we're talking about extremely complex organisms, even in even at their simple level.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Darwin had no idea what was, and many science, many, you know, naturalists and scientists at that time just had no idea. We didn't have the microscopy available to us to really study these things and see the inner workings of this that was going on. And so, and I would like to think that if Darwin knew that, you know, we would discover all this someday and it would be this complex, that he would have thought otherwise. But I honestly think he would not have, because, like I say, this is an issue, not an issue of the evidence. It's an issue of the heart and wanting to really exclude God from the picture, even in the face of what seems like, you know, Romans 1:20 says the evidence is clear. You know, people are without excuse. They can know there's a God through what he has created, and yet they still deny him because, again, they want to suppress the truth. They don't want to be responsible to him.
I think it was year before last, when my son was taking high school-level biology, they spent a long time on the cell. And so I got to review all that stuff, at least at the high school level. And it was fascinating to me, the unbelievable complexity of these little molecular machines that operate at every part of the cell, not even mentioning the DNA, just the things that make proteins pass across membranes and things like that have to happen in just precisely one way.
Right.
And they're asking me to believe, Dr. Purdom, that it's an accident. And that it's a long series, almost an infinite series of accidents that all happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like one of the biggest problems with it is, I mean, when you, as a molecular geneticist, honestly, it was really difficult for me to comprehend how I could study beside people who believed that this had just came about by chance. It just boggled my mind because people are really suppressing things because it's clear. How can you not? I mean, if you look at a watch and you take the back off of it and you look at all the intricate parts, there's no way you would say, well, somebody just threw those parts together in a bag and it became a watch. You know it had to be put together deliberately. And the same is true when we look at creation.
So finally, with only about a minute here, what's your basic response to somebody like Bill Nye, who says that people, not just our politicians, but the rest of us as well, who deny evolution are just backward? We visit, modern history historical museums. We can't explain fossils, all those things. What's your basic response?
Well, again, this is about worldviews, and we can absolutely explain all of those things from a biblical worldview. I have no problem with taking my daughter to a natural history museum and explaining fossils to her and that they were the result of the flood. Most of the fossils that we find today are the result of that, and a global flood makes a lot more sense of what we see in the fossil record than the idea of evolution. And so, we have some great resources at Answers in Genesis that people can access to really help them be able to explain to their children, explain to their coworkers or spouses to really understand these things from a biblical standpoint, that we do have answers. And so I encourage them to check out www.answersingenesis.org for more information.
Dr. Georgia Purdom is a speaker and scientist for Answers in Genesis. She has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University, and you will find a link to Answers in Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Purdom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Now, he has some concerns about church-state relations in Germany. He also has similar concerns, especially in a presidential election year, about the degree to which the central issue in his mind, the central issue, not a social issue, we'll see why he thinks that's inadequate to explain something like abortion as a mere social issue, why the abortion issue ought to be more front and center during this presidential election year. We'll talk about that and church and state issues in Germany with Dr. Uwe Simonetto right after this.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Two scientists have been awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine for their work in adult stem cell research. They've taken adult cells and transformed them into embryo-like stem cells that can grow tissue in various damaged organs. It eliminates the need to kill human embryos using embryonic stem cells. The two scientists, John Gurdon of Britain and Shinya Yamanaka of Japan, will split the financial prize of over $1 million. Ironically, when Dr. Gurdon wanted to become a scientist as a child, his teacher wrote him a note saying that the idea was ridiculous and a waste of time for both him and whoever would teach him. Now their research will save countless lives. So don't let the naysayers in your life derail your passion if God has placed it on your heart.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.